Last week, President Trump announced new tariffs against Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. The rules took effect on Thursday at midnight, targeting imports of foreign steel and aluminum. While the president has often lashed out against Chinese imports on the campaign trail, this official response is a striking reversal in relations between longstanding U.S. allies. In response on Friday, the European Union's top commissioner for trade, Cecilia Malmström, announced that the EU was opening a dispute settlement case against the U.S. at the World Trade Organization. But what would actually happen if an international trade court ruled against the Trump administration? And what else can we expect as these trade tensions begin to play out on the international stage? For that, we turn to Soumaya Keynes, the U.S. economics editor for The Economist and co-host of the Trade Talks podcast.
At the moment, you're seeing some of the ripple effects of these tariffs. So you've got businesses complaining that their inputs have become more expensive. I was talking to some company presidents the other day, and they essentially make tools and parts of machines. And they were saying that the cost of their input has gone up relative to producers in other countries. And so they were worried about how they could compete while those other producers were getting cheaper imports, right? So they were worried about jobs in their companies being lost to jobs in other places as they would essentially lose out from the competition.
And if the retaliatory tariffs Mexico and Canada are proposing go into effect, who has the upper hand?
I think in general, no one is disputing that America is just a lot larger and more powerful than Mexico and Canada. If this is a fight to the death, then I don't think there's much dispute over has more power in that situation. I think Justin Trudeau went on TV in response to these tariffs and was, essentially confirmed, sure, America is the elephant in this relationship. Canada's the moose, they're even-tempered and strong, but, sure, still America has a lot of power and it's, choosing to use that power fairly aggressively at the moment.
And how will the World Trade Organization approach this case being brought against the U.S. by the EU?
Yeah, so this is one of the most alarming systemic implications of all of this. So this isn't a normal bunch of tariffs. America has put a lot of tariffs on its steel imports from China, and it's done so under very narrow, specific rules, which are generally allowed within the World Trade Organization. This time, what the Trump administration has done is it's said that these tariffs are justified in the name of America's national security. There is a loophole in the WTO and the World Trade Organization to allow you to do stuff to be a protectionist if you judge it to be in your own national security interests. The problem is when other countries think that that loophole is being abused, what happens next, right? So I think if you're from a different country and you look at this case, I think it's quite hard to believe that this is really about America's national security, right? So it's just very, very tough to make that case. So the question is what these judges at the World Trade Organization do when confronted with this dispute. Other countries are saying, no, this isn't in America's national security interests. Now, this is a kind of lose-lose situation. If the judges say, yes, America can do whatever it wants in the name of its national security, then, what value does the institution really have in terms of, having these rules and enforcing them? And if the judges say, no, America, you can't do this, you can't claim it's in your national security interests, then, you'd be very worried about what the Trump administration would do next. You might not think that they would react very kindly to being told by judges in Geneva what's in America's national security interests.
Do you have a sense that this could escalate into a trade war? What that could look like?
I think the things that I have on my alerts radar include what's going to happen to NAFTA. So I think if relations between Canada, Mexico, and America deteriorate, if this escalates, then, what does that mean for the North American free trade deal? What does that mean for this integrated economic bloc where really companies think of these three countries as one place to do business, right? That could be one of the victims here. The other thing to look out for is this separate investigation that the Trump administration launched last week, which was into whether cars were a threat to America's national security. Right, you might think that depending on how this one into steel and aluminium went, he might be emboldened to go further and put tariffs or trade restrictions on cars and car parts. And if he did that, that would be, you know, a serious escalation. And the third thing, obviously, is China, right? Because, you know, it's funny, you know, at the beginning of this, it seemed as though the Trump administration was all about targeting China. And now it seems like the most vocal opponents of this thing are America's allies. It's the European Union, it's Mexico, Canada, Japan, right? And meanwhile, all of these trade talks are going on with China, who many think, you know, the real, you know, problem in all of this. They're the people you really need to get tough with. And so, you know, depending on how everything else goes, if the president decides that his strategy of threatening tariffs isn't working, then you may be worried that the $50 billion, $150 billion of tariff threats with China, that could go into place.
But why the cozying up to China, if you will, and the sort of isolation of our closest allies in this most recent decision? I can't seem to... What's the political strategy behind this, you think?
So I learned a very long time ago that attributing too complex a strategy to the Trump administration and to try and sort of look at everything together was just going to mean that I made mistakes or didn't predict things correctly. I think it's probably the case that the best way to think about this is that there are lots of separate disputes. They're not necessarily being thought of as a coherent whole, because otherwise I just don't see how this makes any sense. If you really want to push back against China, then you want to do that with your allies. You want everyone to be united against you. You want every single meeting with those allies to be about how you can rein in China's state-owned enterprises. Instead, now, you know, practically speaking, in your meetings with your allies, half of the meeting is going to be taken up with them saying, why have you put tariffs on our steel and aluminium? Right? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Soumaya Keynes is the U.S. economics editor for The Economist and co-host of the Trade Talks podcast. Soumaya, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let me be clear. These tariffs are totally unacceptable. For 150 years, Canada has been the United States' most steadfast ally.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau there reacting on Thursday to the Trump administration's steel and aluminum tariffs. On Sunday, President Trump's top economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, addressed Trudeau's comments with Fox News' Chris Wallace.
To say that this is an attack on Canada is not right, but to say that we're going to protect...
I didn't say it was an attack on Canada.
Right.
That was what Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, said.
Mr. Trudeau, I think he's overreacting. I don't want to get in the middle of that. As a fine friend and ally of the United States, nobody denies that. But the point is, we have to protect ourselves.
Daniel Dale is Washington bureau chief for the Toronto Star. I asked him how deeply would the tariffs impact Canada's economy.
Well, economists I've talked to say that, in terms of the broader economy, it won't be a huge impact. The issue is one, you know, the impact on particular communities. Our steel towns will be hit very likely. And then secondly, the impact of this retaliatory round of tariffs. And so Prime Minister Trudeau has responded with proposed tariffs on more than 100 U.S. products, not only steel, but everything from yogurt to coffee to sleeping bags, to mattresses, to washing machines. And those tariffs are likely to raise prices on, you know, many goods that are popular with Canadians. And so it'll hit, you know, broader industries, steel and aluminum, and it'll also hit average consumers because of the way the Canadian government is responding.
And I mean, this is also being talked about as a national security issue, but is that a legitimate concern?
I don't think so. It seems to, I think, most trade experts to be a great stretch of this Section 232 provision of this 1970s trade law. If you read the law, it's written extremely broadly. It defines national security very broadly, and it basically says that the economic welfare of important industries can be considered a national security issue. And so the argument is that, you know, if the U.S. doesn't have a very strong domestic steel industry, then it's vulnerable in case of a national security threat. The Canadian argument is, you know, we will always be there for you. You know, if you face a real threat, we're not going to start denying you steel. And so I think that argument is persuasive to most people who study these issues.
So is this, I mean, what could be some of the real reasons behind this if this isn't really a national security concern?
Well, it's very clear. I mean, President Trump has made no effort to hide this. He wants to use this tariff issue to extract concessions in NAFTA talks. And so he said over and over, you know, despite the official rationale of national security, he said, I will, you know, take off these tariffs if we can figure out NAFTA. And so, you know, he's choosing the strategy that he often does, which is, you know, maximum pressure, some would say bullying, push Canada and Mexico to the table, and theoretically make them say, you know, we hate these steel and aluminum tariffs so much that we will give you such and such on NAFTA. But it doesn't immediately look like that is the way that they're going to actually react.
I can't imagine Mexico reacting that way, given the antagonistic language that the administration often uses. But what about Canada? I mean, is Canada willing to be pressured into the administration's desires and needs?
It's possible. It's hard to know how they're, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. But I think it's clear that this kind of tactic from the Trump administration makes it harder for Prime Minister Trudeau to sell NAFTA concessions to Canadians. You know, people are angry about this. They see this as a personal affront by the Trump administration. That, you know, average Canadians, I think, see the Trump administration as bullying them. So, you know, the Trump administration wants Trudeau to be able to give stuff up and then sell that kind of deal to Canadians. And now Canadians are in an angrier, less conciliatory mood than they were before the tariffs came in. And so my perspective is that this makes a NAFTA deal harder, not easier.
Daniel Dale is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. Daniel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.